The last time we were gathered together, if you're here with us, we talked about Mary's song. She and Elizabeth met and had this wonderful pronouncement that she gave based on her perspective of truth. And there's so many different parts of the story of Christ's incarnation that we could focus on. That's why you can spend many, many weeks thinking about this story. But this morning, for our sake of our time together, I'm going to read the story to us from Luke chapter 2. And I want to focus in on the shepherds and the message that was told to them and how they responded to it. All right, so if you're trying to wonder where are we going today, Luke chapter 2, we're going to look at the shepherds and how, what the message that they received and what they did with it. All right, so Luke chapter 2, let's read, similar to what we just heard in that picture book story. It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place when Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a great multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. Father, as we take a few more minutes here and contemplate this wonderful story of your son's entrance into this world, I pray that you would help us to see something fresh, help us to have hearts that are ready to see who you are, and to be reminded of the great wonders that we have in Christ Jesus. Lord, we pray that you would help our minds and hearts to be focused for these few moments we have, and we ask for your help to do this in your name. Amen. Now, I want to take just a few minutes here and talk about these shepherds. I know there's lots of different things you could say about this story. You could talk about the timing, and you could talk about the apologetic angle of all the different things that take place, but really what I want to focus in on this morning for the few minutes we have is these shepherds. Shepherds were not highly thought of, okay, and that's one of the reasons it's so unusual, right? Last week we talked about an old lady, Elizabeth, that's what she was barren until God gave her child, and you had a woman who was pregnant outside of being married, right? Those aren't exactly like the normal people which with God works. Those are different places for the voices of truth to come out of. This week we see shepherds. These shepherds in their place, in their time, in their culture were loners. They were held in very low regard in the Jewish world because of their occupation, where they're constantly dirty, constantly around filth of all different kinds. It was very common that they weren't even allowed to keep many of the ceremonial laws that the law asked of them to do. In fact, in rabbinical literature, about 400 years after Jesus lived, it said, actually, that they weren't even allowed to give testimony in court because they were considered to be so unreliable. However, despite their cultural connotations, the imagery of shepherding in the scriptures when they do their job well is positive, right? Jesus is the good shepherd, right? Think of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." If shepherding is done well, it's a praiseworthy, admirable thing in the eyes of God. In fact, God takes the imagery and applies it to himself. But the fact remains here that this is a very unusual group of people for us to be talking about. You would expect maybe the wise men would enter into the center point of this. You would expect that it was a priest or a prophet or a sage, not these odd loners that lived out in the world. But the truth is, that's one of the things that's so beautiful about what God does in the world. God takes people that are the knots, or the unwise, or the unlovable, or the things that the world looks out on, and he takes them and he does something amazing through them because the message that they have is what's so important. That's what is so beautiful about these shepherds. Their declaration that they're going to make in the city that we're going to focus in on here, and what they see and what they tell and what they proclaim has nothing to do with themselves, has nothing to do with their abilities, has everything to do with this glorious message that has been given to them. And they fit in because the first two teachers that give theological declarations about Jesus are Elizabeth and Mary. And the third in human form would be the shepherds. Think about what an unlikely group. You have two women not allowed to give legal testimony in court. You have shepherds who weren't allowed to give legal testimony in court. And here they are making declarations about who Jesus Christ is, telling who he is and making this known. Now imagine the shock that the shepherds felt. Imagine this, right? You're out in the woods or you're out in this open field, wherever they had their little stable for the night where they had their sheep kept, maybe up against a rock wall, maybe they had a fencing area, we're not told, but it's nice and quiet and all of a sudden, can you imagine? An angel shows up. Isn't it funny how all the angels always have to say, don't be afraid? Like, it's not just like, oh, there's like this like nice breeze shows up and then there's like this, no, it's scary! That's what happens. That's what it says, isn't it? They're out in their flocks, watching their flocks by night, and all of a sudden an angel of the Lord appeared, and the glory of the Lord, verse 9, shone around them. I mean, just think about this. You know how it is, like first thing in the morning if somebody flips on the light in the bedroom, right? You know how it is if your kids get a new flashlight, and they're like, hey, Dad, look at this. And you're like, ugh. Imagine it's nighttime, and you're out in the fields tending your flocks. It's quiet finally. Everything's calm, and the glory of the Lord shines all around you. Right, this isn't like a super bright flashlight. This isn't those LED headlights on SUVs that shine. You're like, no, this is the glory of the Lord. Imagine that. The glory of the Lord just didn't show up in the scriptures. I hope you know that. It was very, very rare. Right? Like, the glory of the Lord was represented with the cloud and the fire and the tabernacle. The glory of the Lord made Moses' face shine, so he had to put a veil over it. Right? I mean, the glory of the Lord is not just like a bright light. It is something that is completely other. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. Why? To these oddballs, loners living out in the world, would God's glorious light appear to them? It was because of this message that was going to be told to them that the Lord wanted to pass on to them. Here's the thing as we think about this in terms of our lives. Remember, the glory of the Lord has shone upon you. We are being transformed from glory to glory, and we do not look upon the Lord with veiled faces. We have unveiled faces, and we behold the glory of God. You guys know you have that privilege? You behold the person and the radiance and the glory of who God is in Christ Jesus. This text says that they were filled with great fear, and of course they were. But what's even more, what happens next is something that's even more incredible. Is not only did they see the glory of the Lord, not only did they see an angel, but then a whole host of heaven shows up. That's the second part here of this text, is this angelic message that is told to them. And they have to be told first, don't be afraid, because well, the news that we bring to you, verse 10, is joy. And it's not only for you shepherds. It's not only for you people around Bethlehem. It's not only for you Jews. What do they say? This message of great joy, these great tidings of joy, will be for all people. Everybody gets to know this news. Everybody gets to know the good news. This joy is for the nations. This is the way that the Old Testament was moving us closer towards as it made prophecies and as it spoke, right? There was localities like Bethlehem. There was things said like titles of Jesus. There were details about him being born of a virgin, all those things. But the thrust of salvation was always this. It's for everybody. It's for all the nations. And everybody who hears this message should rejoice because God has done great things. Jesus is the coming source of joy. Notice verse 10. He says, don't be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This isn't just like, you know, how Oprah likes to give stuff away, you know. And people like to be super generous at Christmas. Like, hey, everybody, it's time to be joyous. Ferrari for you. Da, 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 right? No. Why should the nations rejoice? Why should the nations be glad? Why do the angels have to show up to tell people about all these things? Why? Because there's been a Savior born. That's what we really need, right? Happiness is built on circumstances. Those can change quickly. We know that, right? One moment everything's great and you're happy. Next moment your car breaks. Right? One moment you're looking outside and the snow's great. The next moment your furnace quits. Right? Happiness is based on circumstances. But here, this joy is for all people. Why? Because there is a Savior born in the city of David, Christ the Lord. That's the news that everybody needs. And that joy endures. Joy is not built on circumstances, it's built on truth. And the message of the gospel that goes out and that we continue to proclaim and that we continue, hopefully, to believe in our hearts is this, is that there is great joy to be had today because Jesus is here. The reason that we can be delighted, the reason we don't have to be afraid, the reason we can rejoice is because Christ has been born. Jesus is born, this new Davidic heir. He has come, he has lived, he is ruling today. And this gives reminder to us a prophecy that Isaiah spoke in Isaiah chapter 11. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, of counsel and might, a spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and his delight will be in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what his eyes see, nor decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he will judge the poor. He'll decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and the breath of his lips he will kill the wicked. Righteousness will be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. This is who Jesus is. And I know that in your heart, if you know who Christ is, and if you look at the world around us, you're like, when's the rod of iron coming? Well, maybe very soon. But the point is that this is our King. He's arrived in righteousness. He's arrived in power. He is wise. He is powerful. He knows all. He loves who God is, and he is here. He is the one that everyone has been looking for. He's the one that was foretold. And the angels are saying, this one that all of the Old Testament was pointing towards, he's born today. And that's not just good news for shepherds. It's good news for everybody. Notice the specific words they used to describe in verse 11. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. The Savior is Christ the Lord. They never call him Jesus. They never even call him Emmanuel. Those are good names to use for him because the scripture gives them to him, gives them to Christ. But look at the specific titles they chose. First of all, they chose Savior. Savior. This is what Christ is coming to do. It's interesting, at this point, Jesus has just been born and he is already what? The Savior. He hasn't lived, he hasn't matured, he hasn't lived a perfect life, he hasn't gone to the cross, he hasn't died, he hasn't resurrected, but it's as though the message is as good and done already. He is the Savior. He is the one who's going to come and rescue. He's the one who's going to preserve and save people from their maladies, but even more, save them from their sin and from death. He's the great deliverer, the rescuer. He is the means of salvation, and he is declared by these angels, your Savior has arrived. Second of all, he's described here as the Christ. A Savior, Christ, the Lord. Christ is not Jesus' last name. In fact, it's not even a name at all. It's more specifically a title. It's a role. He is the anointed one. He is the Messiah. We call him Christ because of the Greek word Christos, which describes his role of being Messiah. Or more often, it's easier to find him described as the anointed one or the servant in the Old Testament. But the point is that this Messiah, the one who has been longed for and looked for, the one who has been prophesied, the one who wise people were considering and the prophets spoke about, he's here. He's here. He's come. The one that's going to be a source of deliverance, the one who fit all of those types and pictures of the Old Testament prophets they were predicting and looking towards, he's here. Messiah, Christ, has come. And even more than that, the last title that they use, he's a Savior, and he's Christ, and the angels call him what? The Lord. The Lord. They call him Lord. Is he Savior? Yes. Is he Messiah? Yes. But they also call him Lord. I understand that Lord can be used to talk about a master or a leader, but in this sense, it's being used to talk about deity. He's God. The Lord has come. He has come here. He's not called Lord because of his miracles. He's not called Lord because of his actions. He's called Lord in utero and now in the first hours of his life. Elizabeth called him Lord. Now the angels declare he's Lord. He is God in the flesh. This is an amazing trio of titles. This is why we often call him the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? He's the Savior, he's the Messiah, he is God Almighty. He is deity, he is ruler, he has gone from old, he's been going forth from the earth, even before the earth was made. He made everything that exists because he is Lord, and he's born. What a marvelous statement. And who gets to hear about this message first? Shepherds. That's why I started telling you about what an odd choice that this is. What an unusual choice in the eyes of the world. If these shepherds all went walking into Jerusalem someday and said, hey, the Messiah is born, everyone's going to be like, I think those guys slept under the stars a few too many nights, right? But this is who Jesus told the message to. This is who the Lord told the message to by means of these angels. The angels declare he's been born, and you'll know he is the one. And how crazy they must have thought the angel sounded in verse 12. Because you're going to find this babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a what? They knew what a manger was. They're shepherds. What? Jesus Christ the Lord, the Lord Almighty, the Savior, the Messiah, the one who's come, who's the fulfillment of all the prophecies. He's a baby, that's crazy enough as it is, but he's wrapped up in swaddling cloths and he's laying in a feeding trough. So what did the shepherds do? They're like, man, who cooked dinner tonight? Right? No, what did they do? They immediately went and said, let's go find out what happened. But that wasn't before something else pretty incredible happened. Right? Because if that wasn't enough, immediately, verse 13 says, and suddenly there was with this angel, the one that appeared to him, now a multitude of the heavenly hosts. All of a sudden, now it's like the heavens have opened up, and all the angels showed up too and started singing. That's interesting. He calls the heavenly hosts because host is a name for armies. So it's interesting. You have the heavenly army showing up singing what? Peace, goodwill towards men. That's what this heavenly army shows up to do. But can you imagine? I mean, just put yourself in these guys' place. Right? It's the middle of the night, or it's after dark, and all of a sudden you have an angel shows up to you like, that was incredible. And now all of the heavens open up, and you have all these angels singing. I mean, what an amazing night. What an incredible moment. And really, truthfully, what a very, very unlikely way to go about this. You would think that the Lord would send great signs to Jerusalem during one of their feasts when everybody's gathered and just tell everybody, hey, 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 everybody pay attention. Send an angel right in the middle of the temple or something. That's not how God did it. But he is offering peace, and he is offering joy to mankind, and he does deserve glory for it, according to verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, because God has done this. You read some of the other messianic prophecies, it says the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. God did this. He's worthy to be praised for it. This moment, though, they did not keep for themselves. Notice the third part here that we're going to consider this morning quickly is these guys became the first witnesses. The first witnesses. Notice in verse 15, when the angel's gone away from them into heaven, and I don't know how long the song lasted for. Maybe it lasted for a while. I don't know. Maybe it was like the best concert they ever heard in their life, and they just wanted the thing to keep going and going. But whenever it was done, what did they do? They said, we got to go to Bethlehem and see this thing has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to it. They don't say, well, let's find out if this is crazy or true. They say, we need to go see the thing that has, past tense, come to pass. Right, these guys believe it already. It's just a matter of we want to go see with our own eyes what God has done. And they, of course, find exactly what God had promised to do. And they found just what had been told to them. They found a baby lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. The Messiah, the Savior, the Lord. The Lord, right in front of them. Now, it's always a joyful thing when a newborn baby is sleeping, right? You look at them and you're like, oh, they're so cute, right? Got the little baby smell, like the whole thing going on, right? But imagine what it was like for these, you know, shepherds to come out of the fields and to look at this little baby and say, this is the Lord Almighty. This is the one that is prophesied from David's line. This is the one who made us. Look at him. I mean, can you imagine the glory and the radiance that was there and the wonder and the awe? And I think also so many questions like, how is this? How? Is this even possible? But the simple response of them, truthfully, the thing that sort of overarches all of their response is joy. Joy. When they had seen him, verse 17, they made this known widely, saying which was told to them concerning the child. And they went and told people. This joy that they had seen, this glory that they had beheld, not only from the angels, but now in this little babe wrapped in swaddling cloths in a manger, was something that they couldn't keep to themselves. They had to go tell somebody. They had to go tell people about this. Now, again, here, this is an odd thing, right? It's still probably, from all that we know, it's still the night. Right? Because the angels appeared at night, and they immediately went to Bethlehem, and now they've seen the baby, and it seems like pretty quick, wow, we saw the baby, now what are they going to start doing? Not that big of an extrapolation here to say, it was the middle of night, and what did they start doing? Text says they went around and started telling people. Now, can you imagine? Can you imagine if somebody at 3 or 4 in this morning came to your house? I got to tell you something! I saw an angel! He told me there's a baby! I mean, can you imagine? Even if it was first thing in the morning, right, because again, it's not said specific, all these details here, there's a lot of things left unsaid, but can you imagine the shepherds come running up and down saying, we saw an angel last night, he said there's going to be a baby, there's a baby, this guy's crazy, but notice what the people said. They heard it and they marveled, verse 18, and they came and saw, right, the shepherds, these people, they were so excited, and they went and told people, and people marveled about these things who heard them, because this was all true. This is all true. There's also this beautiful little moment captured here, which is why most people think, including myself, that Luke interviewed Mary. That's why there's so much unique material in Luke, specifically related to Mary. But it says in verse 19, Mary kept these things in her heart and pondered them. Right, she's sitting here, and just what imagine was like for her. Not only, I just gave birth to my first child. Wow, that was different than what I thought it was going to be. Right, all of those like postpartum moments that she's having, but also she's sitting there looking at this child being like, no, it really is from the Lord. And there was some radiance about this child that said, this is God in flesh. And she saw the joy already that this baby was bringing to people like these shepherds. I've often wondered what it's like the first time that you get to meet people when you get to heaven, right? You get to see your grandparents again. You get to see family members again. You get to see people that you've lost in this life again. I also wonder what it's like for pastors and missionaries to see people that they've led to Christ or that they've faithfully discipled over the years, people that you've led to Christ but maybe didn't have an impact on them right away. You just wonder what this would be like, right? I often wonder in thinking about this, what was it like? What's it like for Mary? What's it like for her to see all these people come and they're not so much interested in her, they're really, really interested in her son. Imagine what that's like for her. It'd be like, oh, there's another one who my son's life changed, and there's another one who Jesus changed. Can you imagine what this is like for her? Think about the fact that she has this great privilege of being like, I carried this child, I nursed this child, I raised this child to the best of my human ability, and now all these people's joy is complete in my son. And this is not just because she's mom who loves her baby, right? He's Christ the Lord. I mean, what an incredible joy that she must have. I mean, I think probably in heaven still she shakes her head being like, man, he's done such amazing things. And I think she's probably still asking the question, why me? Why me? Like she said in her song that we studied last week. The shepherds, after they saw all of this, says in verse 20, they returned and they glorified and they praised God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. See, what I wanted you to capture and what I wanted to capture in this whole scene this morning for the sake of our time is this, is that when you grasp who Jesus is and you see the glory and the wonder of who he is, it ought to fill your heart with joy. And when you are filled with joy, what should you do? Just tell people, right? Just tell people. Right? It's not like, you know, we often think about evangelism as like, okay, I got to memorize a verse and I got to memorize some phrases, and if they say this, I got to say this. And there's like, we make it this very heady, cerebral sort of thing, right? We're like, if they say this and they say this, well, then what? You know, I have all the worst case scenarios of what if they like punch me in the face because of something I say, which never happens, right? You know what evangelism really is? These shepherds just showed us exactly what it is. They have seen the glory of God, and they can't keep it in. That's what it is. Yeah, people are going to look at you like you're a little crazy. Yeah, it's probably true, right? But you have this amazing message of joy, don't you? You know that Jesus Christ the Lord is who he said he is. You have beheld him. You know that he's true. And people are like, oh yeah, where's the baby? I want to go see him. And you're like, well, he's not here right now. And they're going to look at you like you're even more crazy. But you know it's true. You know it's true. You can open the Word of God with them. You can show them how it is true. But remember that the whole motive behind evangelism is not how can I somehow change this person's mind. The point is that God has done great things for you, and you have to tell somebody about them. Just like these shepherds did. These shepherds didn't go to seminary. They didn't go to school or something to learn how to be evangelists. They just had beheld the glory of God, and they're like, I got to tell somebody about this. Jesus is real. Somebody needs to know. That's what it is. If you got that joy in your heart, I hope you do. If you got that joy in your heart, just go tell somebody. Go tell somebody. Has Jesus changed your life? Have you seen and beheld the glory of the heaven-sent Son? Do you know the depths of his love that he has for you? I know many of you here have this morning. So tell people about it. It's not rocket science. You don't need a degree for it. Just tell people, I have beheld the glory of Christ. Can I tell you about who he is? If you've never done that, let me just tell you, today is not about Santa Claus. It's not about gifts. It's not even about a family celebration. It is about Jesus Christ the Lord. He came from heaven to save you. He came from heaven to see all of your sins, to take them upon himself, to die upon the cross, and to say, in exchange for your faith, I'll give you eternal life. I'll make you a part of my family. Why? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. That's the message that we celebrate today. There was a baby that was born who lived a perfect life, who died on the cross, who was buried in the tomb with all of our sins, and he rose to new life so that anybody who believes in him can be saved. That's the message of Christmas. Jesus came in flesh to save us from our sins. If you've not received his gift, what a better day than today. If you have received his gift, go tell somebody about it. It's the best gift a person can ever receive. It's the best thing that you can ever tell somebody about. And yeah, you might look a little crazy along the way. It's true. It's good. It's changed your life. Why not tell somebody about it? Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for his willingness to come here to this earth and bring joy and bring salvation and bring healing and bring peace in a way that has never been known on this earth. God, we ask today that you would fill our hearts with the joy of who Christ is, that you would help us to rejoice in the goodness of who he is, that you'd help us to proclaim his goodness to all people who will listen. We thank you that this joy is for all the nations. And Lord, we ask that you would work in the hearts of anyone here this morning. If they've not yet believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior, pray they would ponder in this day. Ponder the story of who Jesus Christ is. Ponder the work of what he has done. Help them to open a Bible and just read who this one is that we proclaim here today. God, we want you to receive the glory for all that happens here today. So we pray this in your name.